I have been crucified with Christ. It is I, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith in the Son of God. Amen. Praise God. So today we're talking about faith found in him and faith in him. So we're in our In Christ series, and we're talking about our spiritual identity. Amen. And so one of the biggest things that gets challenged to your life as a Christian is to steal your identity. And we said if Satan can steal your identity, he can hinder your inheritance and your destiny. He can disrupt your destiny if your identity gets stolen. Now, if you don't realize this or not, every week and even sometimes every day, the devil has an attempt to steal you and rob your identity. That's how important what we're talking about is. So we need to keep a strong confession about who we are in Christ and who we are in the body of Christ. Now, if you study the life of Jesus, he was constantly saying who he was, who his Father was, and where he was going. Amen. And so he did it from the beginning to the end. Why? Because Satan will challenge your identity frequently and often. Amen. If you don't know who you are, you act like who you're not or someone else who you're not. Okay? Philemon's verse 6, you can turn it to the next slide. Yeah, there you go. Philemon 6, it says, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The Passion Translation says, I pray that your faith we share may effectively deepen your understanding of every good thing that belongs to you in Christ. The Amplified Classic says, and I pray that participation in and the sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. Somebody say praise the Lord. So we have to acknowledge or be acknowledging. It means to recognize, it means to think about, it means to be conscious of, it means to daily declare. I'll say it again. To acknowledge means to recognize, it means to think about, it means to be conscious of, and to be daily declare who you are in Christ and what you have in him. This is how you access what belongs to you in Christ. If you don't acknowledge it, you don't access it. You have to acknowledge it to keep your faith from weakening and waning. Your faith is effective when you acknowledge who you are in Christ, when you acknowledge what belongs to you in Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so you live in the light of who you are in Christ. So you need to have at least 10 to 15 in Christ scriptures that you go to regularly that keep you grounded soundly and focused in who you are and what you have. There's about 30 real good ones, but there's 133 altogether in the Bible, New Testament mainly, that say in him, in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, so forth and so on, that let you know, give you a full perspective for your faith to be grounded in who you are and what belongs to you. Everybody say that's important. All right, so acknowledging and accessing those good things. So we go back to Philemon 6, turn to the next slide, if you will. We saw throughout the New Testament, there are key, powerful prepositions. The word for us, represents substitution. With us represents identification. Through means application. And in means union with Christ. So we say these are powerful prepositions. There's others, but these are the ones that you have to learn, just like you learn your apps on your phone. There's unlimited power and potential in who you are in Christ. There's hundreds and hundreds and thousands of applications of who you are in Christ. Just like you have maybe 100 or so applications. They say the iPhone, I've got an iPhone 16. It can do 150 probably, 200 apps. That's a lot of apps. Unlimited. So your potential and your power in Christ is unlimited. It's endless. Amen. And so we get all caught up and wrapped up in other things, and we got to realize that this is what God wants us to get wrapped up and focused on, Jesus Christ. Because we said you look a whole lot better in Christ than outside of him. And, of course, if you're in Christ, you're good and glory. Things are glorious. If you're outside of Christ, things are not good. And the devil's pull every day is to get you outside of Christ. Because when you're outside of Christ, you're in crisis. And mainly it's an identity crisis. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. So notice Paul said, every good thing in you. Everything good in you. That means you need to see inside of your spirit, your newborn recreated spirit, by revelation through the word. This is what you have. The Holy Spirit tell you, this is who you are. This is what you have. Because Jesus was the prototype, the archetype, the only type that God created. And he identified you completely with him so that what he did becomes who you are. And he did it for us, but he gave us credit on our account like we did it. Somebody say hallelujah. So he says here in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, that we know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good things. Everybody say, no, my flesh dwells no good thing. Now, let me talk to some of you, and let me take you off your high horse. Some of y'all spend hours trying to cater to your flesh. The TV channel decisions usually are dictated by your flesh. Everybody says, What you eat is usually dictated by, where you want to go eat? Most people don't ask their faith, they ask their flesh. What do I have a feeling for? But what did he say? In your flesh dwells no good thing. When you walk after the flesh, that's Romans 7, 18. When you walk after the flesh and follow after the flesh, no good things come from it. But in Christ, you are living and walking in the Spirit. Amen. The Bible even says in Romans 8, the carnal mind, that means body ruled, body conscious mind, to be carnally minded is death. Let me know, death is not necessarily good. In this case, that what it produces in your life. You don't want it to produce death. So if I think about my body all the time, if I'm conscious of it, if I'm ruled and dominated by my flesh because I'm carnal minded, it's going to produce death. And the Amplified says, death comprising of all its miseries and manifestations. So you don't want these miserable things starting to happen to you because you're thinking about your body. You're being ruled and dominated about your body. You're talking about your three favorite people. What are your three favorite people? Me, myself, and I. So to be carnal, body ruled, mindset, you allow your flesh and feelings to run and rule your mind and thinking. When you acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ, your faith will become effective. Everybody say effective. Now listen to the Fenton translation. If you guys would turn to the next slide. the Fenton translation in the Philemon 6, it's one chapter, Philemon 6, it says, so that your advance in faith may become energetic. By recognition, of every benefit there is for us in Christ. Now, when you ask people, what are your benefits? What are your medical benefits? One of the things I deal with in the insurance industry is, you know, Medicare. I have to become a Medicare specialist because I have to interpret that big old fat red, white, and blue Medicare and you book every year. People say, these plans change. This. Okay. Ignorance is the biggest hindrance to your victory. So some people don't know what belongs to them, what they have, what's their benefits, what's their rights, what's their entitlements. Do you and I as Christians should know what rights, benefits, and entitlements are in Christ? Not by us earning it or meriting it, it's by what he's already done. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The Laubach translation says, I pray that every one of you who meets you may catch your faith and learn from you how wonderful it is to live in Christ. How wonderful it is to live in Christ. Now, remember, if you're living outside of Christ, if you're being drawn by the enemy to be outside of Christ every day, then it's not going to look wonderful to other people. People don't want to catch that cold or that callous or that bad misery. They want to see, okay, your life is different because you're in Christ. You're not in perpetual crisis. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So here it says your faith can become contagious, right? As you walk in the light of your redemption in Christ, people can catch your faith in him. Amen. Victory is yours. Blessing is yours. Peace is yours. Joy is yours. Prosperity and healing is yours. Wisdom is yours. The list goes on and on and on and on. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. You and I never really get to the end of what God has done for us in Christ. So it don't matter how old you get, how much time you have on the earth, there's still more, there's still better things to know and grow in Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So you and I, listen to this statement, you and I are absolutely wealthy in Christ. I got two amens and a praise the Lord. You and I are absolutely wealthy in Christ. And there's, because what happened? The Bible says when Jesus rose from the dead in Matthew 28, he said, all things the Father has are mine. What does the Father own? He owns a cattle on a thousand hills, the silver and the gold. He created the universe. Hebrews says he's made Jesus the lawful owner of all things. He's the lawful owner of all things. That means if we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, that means we have unlimited potential and prosperity. Unlimited potential and provision in Christ. Not outside of Christ. In Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. How would you like to make some advances in your faith today? Amen. Now, E.W. Kenyon, you see the quote up here. He said, the reason that majority of Christians are weak, and though they are earnest, yet they are weak, is because they never dare to make a confession of what they are in Christ. Now, go back and think about this week, this past week, last Sunday night, Monday, through Friday, yesterday, Saturday, how many times did you acknowledge, did you confess who you are in Christ or what you have in him? And the devil's good at getting you and casual and thinking that everything I got to slip back down to just struggling with my own life. you know, going through my busyness of each out throughout each day, talking about my flesh, responding to my feelings and what I see and all the circumstances that face me. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. So making your faith effective is acknowledging to access the good things that are in you in Christ. This is not something you have acknowledged. It is something that you are acknowledging, and it is a continual process and daily priority. Everybody say a continual process and daily priority. So acknowledging is essential for your faith to work properly. Faith must have a bold confession to work properly. For example, you say, you know, you thank you, Father God, that you blessed me, according to Ephesians chapter 3, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Because I'm in Christ today, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing that I need. Thank you, Father, for it. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 2:14, we just read that one. Now, thanks be to God who always calls me to triumph. So I thank you, Father God, that you always calls me to triumph. Thank you for this day being a day of triumph and making the sweet smell of the Savior of our Lord Jesus Christ. People smell victory and people will see and smell Jesus in and through my life today in Jesus' name. I'm acknowledging. Thanks be to God. Were you thanking him before anything happened? Yes, that's faith. Because faith does not walk by feelings or walk by the flesh or walk by sight. You might have defeat surrounding you all the way around in defeat. But you say, thanks be to God who always calls me to triumph in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Before even victory, your car stuck on the side of the road. You got the steam coming from your engine. Everything's broke down. But you're doing what? You're praising God and thanking God before. Why? Because I'm in Christ. I'm not going to let this crisis pull me outside of Christ. Thanks be to God who gives me the victory. You can sing that Keith Moore song. Thanks be to God who gives me the victory. Gives me the victory. Gives me the victory. Now thanks be to God who gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. You got to look up the song. So it's good. It's a good song. Amen. You should be saying that all day. Not just three scriptures. Philippians 4:13. Right? I can do all things through Christ. You got a hard day ahead of you. You know your schedule's pretty full. What do you say? You hunker down and put in your heart and say with your mouth, thank you, Father God, that I can do all things through Christ. I will not complain today. I will not complain, murmur, grumble, or be disgruntled about the workload I have in front of me today, about the things I've got to do, the task ahead of me today. I have to say that before I cut the grass and eat. Just giving you a hint, a clue. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I can do all things through Christ. Lord, what do you want me to give? In Christ I have it. Because my God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So at the beginning of the month, it said in fourth Sunday, I'm going to bring my extra. I'm going to bring my tithes, offering, and my extra on fourth Sunday. In Christ I have it. Because he supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Our faith gets weak, brothers and sisters, when we express confidence in our flesh. Fall back into legalism, self-righteousness, and legalistic practice. Let me show you how this pans out. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. You can go to the next slide, guys. We talked to you about why does confession work. Because if you don't confess it, you never possess it. So the question for your faith friends to ask you, if you got faith buddies or faith friends, they should be asking you, what are you saying about your finances? What are you saying about your car? What are you saying about whatever's broken down? what are you saying about your body? They should have permission to ask you, what are you saying? You shouldn't be saying things outside of Christ. You should be saying things in Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. If you can follow along in your Bible with me, I appreciate it. All right, let's go. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Everybody say rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Everybody say rejoice in the Lord is safe. Now, he said rejoice in the Lord, not rejoice in your flesh. Some people reserve and delay their rejoicing until everything's taken care of. But he tells us to rejoice in the Lord. That means you rekindle your joy. You stir up the joy about what Jesus has done. Not what the devil's doing. Not what the circumstances that are negative are dictating to you. You rejoice in the Lord. His death, his burial, his resurrection. What does that remind you of? Victory. No matter how much the devil's doing, how much defeat is trying to encroach my life, I rejoice in the Lord. That's a safe advice. That keeps you safe where? Why is it safe? It keeps you focused in Christ. It keeps you focused in Christ. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now here it goes. Let's go. Two. Now he gives out three bewares. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation. What is that? Paul mentions beware three times. Beware means to take heed, to be cautious, to be on watch, to look out for, to be on guard for the unwitting and unwise relational influences. To be on guard and be on watch for unwise and unwitting relational influences. The enemy sends your way to draw you back into what? Legalism, works of the flesh, legalistic practices. These things and these are people to be aware of, because they will pull you out of Christ and many times pull you out of church. Dogs, people's pride, people who pride themselves and practice reproach and humiliation. They're irreligious, they're incorrigible, and they're unrighteous. Everybody said, don't run with the dogs. You're going to catch fleas and ticks. That's why we grow in spiritual discernment. Because you need to stay away from dogs. In this context, Paul is saying a dog is not good. Sometimes there are dogs in our family. And they always pull you out of Christ. Well, praise the Lord. And some people come in with dog bites on them. The dog's been biting me. Anybody ever had a dog? Anybody had the dog nip at them? Accidentally. Sometimes they're not intentionally vicious, but sometimes dogs accidentally snip you. They're playing around, they bite you. Somebody say praise the Lord. So technically in that time and context, these were legalists or Judaizers, people who demand that you must go back and live and follow Judaism and Jesus to be totally saved, sanctified and eternally secure. You got to do these rules. You got to do these things. You got to do these rituals. You got to practice this religion. Dogs. Who let the dogs out? Evil workers, carnal and mischievous people who pull you out of Christ and magnify flesh, foolishness, and folly. Hey, let's go to this. Let's go to the movies. Let's go to this. And they always talk about stuff that is carnal and fleshly and a bunch of foolishness. What's the trick of the enemy?
to get you out of Christ. He's going after your identity.
Evil workers. Evil is anything or anyone who takes you away from your God-intended purpose, plan, and priority. Who are you supposed to be? What are you supposed to be doing? If it's outside of Christ, it's going to put you in crisis. All right, mutilation. These are martyrdom, people with martyrdom syndrome, selfish practices, self-abasement. This is an attempt to become right with God, but is strictly self-righteous. I don't do this. I do this. I do this. And they talk about how much they save and how much they penny pinch and how poverty-minded they are and how pitiful they are. They call that righteous. It's mutilation. They magnify outward and circumcision of the flesh versus circumcision of the heart. It's similar to those who get a whole bunch of tattoos and brands on their bodies to honor and merit spiritual things. It's false worship. It's legalistic. Whew. Maybe I had to start my car and get moving here. Paul's concern was that the Philippian church Christians was so great that he admonished them to beware three times, and they are to be aware of those who demand that they return to legalistic practices of the law. You've done enough. You served enough. Now you got to do this. You got to go take care of yourself. You don't have to tithe. You got a whole bunch of people sitting at home that don't think they have to tithe and give offerings. And they're trying to tell you to do that. Praise the Lord. And especially those family members who come up in church, but then now they're outside of church. They're trying to convince you it don't take all that. Amen. We heard everything when COVID came around. Everybody stayed at home, and some people stayed at home. Never came back. Because they said, you know, well, praise the Lord. Philippians 3:3-4, look at this. So we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in flesh. So I said, everybody say this with me. I worship God in the spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Those three things I would circle or underline in your Bible. Verse 3, though I might have confidence in the flesh, anyone who thinks he might have more confidence in the flesh, I more so. So those who have confidence in their flesh in any fashion, brothers and sisters, but especially those who are bound by legalistic beliefs, they're unable to rejoice in the Lord. They come to church unhappy. They have no joy throughout the day. Their joy level is always low. They're always complaining, fussing, mad and sad, and looking sorrowful and pitiful. You got to check and see if there's poison in your pot. Poison is representative of legalism, religious tradition. Is there poison in the pot? Just like when the prophet was told by one of his students in the school of the prophets, Master, there's poison in the pot. Why? Because they put strange ingredients into the oatmeal, into the pottage, or the oatmeal, you might want to say. So the oatmeal had some strange ingredients, and it was lethal. It was a lethal plant. Legalism is lethal. That means I got to go outside of Christ to make this happen. I can do all things through who? Through Christ who strengthens me. So those who are bound by legalistic beliefs are unable to rejoice in the Lord. Legalism drains the believer of the joy of the Lord, and with that joy, the power for vital worship and vibrant servants is depreciated. I'm going to tell you right up front, I love you, but that's why our worship service are not as high as they should be. Because we're not filling up with joy. We're having to refill or come from a low or no joy level up to very little in church. And usually you lose your joy because sometimes legalism gets in and confidence in your flesh gets in and you go by how you feel. I don't feel like praising the Lord. Today's not good. I'm tired. I stayed up late last night. I do a lot of hard work around the house last night. All of us have busy schedules. But he didn't say we can do all things through Christ when you get enough sleep and your schedule's not busy. He said you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so you think about it. The Holy Spirit told me this morning. He said, what if I said, go do three more songs? How many people will be sitting? No joy, no strength. And we talked about it. You got to keep your joy level up. Amen. It first starts on your face. You smile, you brighten up. Get the ugly look off your face. Somebody say, praise God. Hallelujah. And then you get to laughing. We want to get to the point to where pre-service, we can hear the sounds of laughter. That the joy is overflowing. People walk in and a joy bomb hits them. Boom. Our hospitality team is so full of joy that they hit them. They're like, man, this joy is unreal. It's not of this earth here. Somebody say, praise the Lord. There's joy in Jesus. There's joy in Christ. That's why we rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let's look at verse 7 through 9. But what things have gained to me, I have counted loss. Everybody say loss. For the Christ. For indeed, I count all things but loss. Now notice the word count. That's the second time I mention count, second time I mention loss. For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, of whom I suffered the loss. Everybody said loss. Of all things, and count them but rubbish. Now, rubbish is basically unworthy for human consumption. It's the slop that sometimes people give to dogs. Not good enough to eat. So he's saying all the things I've accomplished before Christ, outside of Christ, are like rubbish. So I don't need to be eating what I'm doing. I don't need to be consumed about my life, bragging about my history, what I'm doing, how big I am, my three favorite people, me, myself, and I. That's rubbish. Because he said, if anybody can brag, I can. Paul says, my resume is impeccable. He had a PhD in philosophy and a PhD in religion. He was a Pharisee. But most people talk about themselves. They don't talk about who they are in Christ and what they have in Christ. Most social media posts is about me. I suffered the loss of all things. And I count them. There's another count. There's another loss. But rubbish. That I may gain Christ and be found in him. Whoo, my. Goodness, I love that. Be found where? Don't find me on the internet doing, hey, look at me. I'm happy. Look at me. Not having my own righteousness, but from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Everybody say faith in Christ. The righteousness which is God by faith. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, what does the word loss mean? Liability. It means a deficit. So if you're counting, like he's counting up a ledger. And he's saying on the loss side is everything I achieved, accomplished, and was accredited for. He said, when I total them up, I still come out with a big fat zero. It's a liability. Some people are so proud of their family and their family history and legacy. Remember we said this before. You're a whole new person in Christ. Old things are passed away. If you identify only with your family, you have a low liability identity. It's who you are in Christ. And so Paul said, I suffered the loss of all things. I count them rubbish. I count them as not even good for my consumption or my concentration of my thoughts or my words. It's all for Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Anybody remember lost and found in school? College or wherever, trade school, and lost and found. It's a familiar term, school, organizations. But loss is a four-letter word. It's not always a bad term. Loss can be a pivot in our lives if we allow it to. If we allow the things that are lost for us in Christ as we step over into Christ and stay in Christ and not outside of Christ or in crisis, we'll suffer loss of that, but that is a liability. That is a deficit. That doesn't count or do us any good. Well, I'm trying to break this down for you guys. You see this? So when Paul tallies up the ledger of his former life before Christ in the third chapter of Philippians, he admits that what he once considered assets has moved to liability column and adds up to a big, gigantic zero. Some people are proud of their career. Proud of where they serve. Proud that I'm retired. Proud that I got this money. That's liability. Compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Paul says, whom I've suffered the loss of all things. That what? That I may be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, because that makes me self-righteous, right? That makes me outside of Christ. That makes me confidence in the flesh. He said, but faith in Christ, his righteousness, his righteousness. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and thank God for that. Hallelujah. We're almost done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, thank God. I'm throwing out some nuggets today. If you remember the book of Acts, Paul had I believe it was the 27th chapter, he had that shipwreck where they were in that storm called Euroclydon, and the big storm, and they got crashed, they shipwrecked on the island of Malta, or Mileta, however you want to pronounce it. And before they were getting ready to shipwreck, they were unloading all this cargo. They were unloading all this cargo. And Paul said, the cargo of his past life in this comp had to be thrown overboard, that he might be saved and gain the spiritual life in Christ. We got to make a decision. If we're going to go all in for Christ, or we're going to live in continual, perpetual crisis. We have a choice, right? Every time our family calls us, we respond. We respond to every time our feelings or our flesh is dictating us, we respond. What about Jesus? What about Jesus? You telling Jesus, no, I can't do this because my family's calling. No, I can't do this because my feelings, I don't feel like doing it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, this is what Memorial Sunday is about, Memorial Weekend. People who sacrificed, who served, and we remember them and we honor them. And you want to be remembered in heaven because you sacrificed and served Jesus with everything, with all that you have. He's first place, final authority. Hallelujah. Top priority. So what do we say? Do not be afraid to let go of things that keep you from God. Being found in him and having faith in Christ. Now, what are some of the things as we close? Relationships outside of Christ that influence you negatively. I cut the people from high school away. I cut the people from college away because they stopped following Christ. They started going away from Christ. Some people always want to look back and go back and hang out. Hallelujah. Activities that don't honor or magnify Christ. Habits and holding on to self-sabotaging and self-defeating behaviors that hinder you from your faith in Christ. You wake up in the morning if you got a bad habit of just dictating and being dominated by your flesh and your feelings. What do you want to do today? No, you ask the Lord. You learn the practice of saying, Lord, I'm yours to command. What's my assignment today? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because Pastor, you meddling today. Yes, I am, because sometimes we don't encourage one another enough, or we don't talk to one another enough. I send out emails and I probably get one response. A lot of times people think about themselves. And in our Bible reading, nobody comments. Because people read out of religion. They read legalistically. I got this day done. They don't care about sharing what God gave them to other people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What about compromising your morals and integrity that jeopardize and injure your righteousness with Christ? See, we must not revert back to religion and legalism and away from righteousness in Christ. We must not regress back to works of the flesh and put confidence in religious traditions and abandon our faith in Christ. Come on, let's stand. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, hallelujah. Y'all get something out of this today? Come on, tell us online if you got something out of it. I don't know if it went all the way through. Praise God. Praise God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity. Hallelujah. To hear your word, to receive correction and instruction. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, all to the glory of God. Thank you, Father God, for your word and your will being accomplished in our lives. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around,